107 and 106 FM.
Charles Newcomen is my guest, CEO at AVS Cyber Security. Charles, thanks very much for joining us once again. Much appreciated, sir.
Hello, Aubrey. Nice speaking to you and the audience again. Thank you very much.
I'm being introduced to yet another term, malware, malicious software, I'm told. And as Ntateng was explaining to me how it works, and I'm sure you'll explain it a little bit better for me, is that it's stuff that people sprinkle into your computer system and it starts to have a life of its own and quite frankly kills all sorts of stuff within your computer. What are we talking about when we talk about malware, Charles?
Well, just following up on your previous discussion, I think it is software that we have to install antivirus software on our machines and so on.
Yep.
so that we are not captured by cyber criminals.
The state of capture, yeah.
I'm telling you, we're in the capturing scene at the moment.
Indeed.
So, malware is, if you use your phone, and let's say you've got a very old phone, and you press the 1 and the 2 and the 3 and so on to dial a number.
Yes.
With the moment you press that little 1 or 2 or so, it'll show a 1 on the screen. If you press the 1 on those old phones like 3 times, it'll give you a C or something like that because you want to write a little text message or so.
Yes, I remember that.
Now what in the new modern phones, obviously you've got a little keyboard and the same principle is true. So the moment you press that little 1 button, in the background what actually happens there is software that then displays that 1. It's not that that 1 is hard programmed, because if you press it 3 times, it's not 1111. It gives you the code. And it's software that does that. So think about it as almost like as the blood that is flowing through your body. And that sends a signal to indicate something on a screen. Now, what malware is nothing else than cancer in a body. So it is cancer is cells, normal cells in the body that actually go haywire. They don't do the kind of things that they
should. Yeah, they go malignant, body.
They go malignant. Now, that malignancy is exactly the same principle with software. Now, these things don't evolve themselves, unfortunately. They are evolved by people with a very specific criminal intent. So they've got an objective that they want to listen in on your discussions, maybe. They want to intercept a SMS message that you are getting from the bank for an OTP because you are logging into your internet banking. It is specific pieces of software that are infiltrated all the good software within your computer or within your cell phone that gives you a different outcome of what you actually planned it to do. So it doesn't show itself as bad pieces of software or bad signals or bad code. It hides itself. So you as a normal user will not see what's happening in the background. It just sort of like hides itself from being displayed. And so malware is that code that is not intended, it's not what it was, the software was originally intended to do and to write. So that's in a broad way what malware is. It's code on a computer or on a cell phone that does things that you don't want it to do.
It appears to me that the principles of the destruction of your computer or the software in your computer, the life stream of your computer, takes principles from biology. It's almost as if you call them viruses. It almost seems as though there is, and I don't know whether it is or not, Charles, a very deliberate relationship between the biology, the pathology of biology, and the pathology of the cyber world.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, that's why we talk about viruses in a normal sense of words. So you get different strings of viruses. So this year we'll have one type of virus that is the dominant virus that infects all people with flu and so on.
Yes.
And then the same happens also with malware, as you would call it. It is a very sophisticated piece of virus. That's all it is. and it will respond by encrypting people's data on their computers. So next year we'll have another theme, or next month we'll have another theme. There are a large amount of viruses or new variants of viruses created every day, or every second of the day. But there's a specific theme what the cyber criminals use to infiltrate. I want to give you an interesting example.
Yeah.
What just happened recently was that there was some viruses that infected some of the Namibian computers in Namibia, small
yes.
country. It's it's a small economy, 2 million people, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I then realized that in Namibia, the Namibian organizations don't look after their computers and their software as well as a country maybe like in South Africa.
Yes.
And what the cyber criminals then did was that they infected computers in Namibia. This was actually from the North Korean guys. It was actually proven. They infected computers in Namibia and then attacked the U.S. via Namibia.
Yeah.
You know, so those kind of themes that the guys get, they would find specific weaknesses in certain geographical areas. They'll find certain weaknesses in the average software that we use. And they will then use that as a theme to exploit and to actually steal money from people and all sorts of funny things.
So these malware, and as you say, that they are deployed using specific themes every year or every period. I'm interested to understand what these themes are. What do you mean by these themes? And also the fact, Charles, that somebody actually creates malware, right? I'm also interested, why would people do that? Why, for what reason? Is it to sabotage economies? Is it to steal? What is the motivation? And I know it might sound like a very naive question, but why do people do that?
Well, it's why do people do what they do? Because they want to gain something from it.
Okay.
They want to either gain power. They maybe want to gain a certain message that they want to send through to a specific group of people. If you look at some organizations, want just to prove their point, to say that, you know what, we are powerful and we can do the following things. They may do it with machine guns. Other people will do it with infecting computers and sending certain messages through, or attack a country from a specific region. And the biggest reason, from our point of view, I'm talking about cyber warfare.
Yes.
I'll touch on to cyber warfare now, because that's why people do things, is for financial gain. So they would want to compromise a situation. Give you an example. Let's say we compromise Citibank.
Yes.
And you have shares in the Citibank
yes.
in New York.
Yes.
And suddenly the news comes out that they have been compromised. What happens to the share price? It takes a tumble, right?
Okay.
So what do you do? You go and buy those shares, and then they recover again, and then you sell the shares again. You've just made yourself a fortune by infecting their environment, letting the market know that they've been infected, and actually grabbing their shares at a very low cost. So that could be a financial intent.
Yeah.
There could be a financial intent where they would encrypt the files. Remember the story we had with City Power and so on?
Yeah.
Where they would encrypt your files and then say, well, if you want this data to be released, you have to pay us.
Yes.
To actually get this data released.
Yeah, so that's what we were talking about. Points. That's when we were talking about the other sort of malware. I think we called it ransomware the other day, Charles.
It was the ransomware, correct, the Aubrey. So they basically encrypted the files, and then you had to pay for it. And then at a level where we ordinary citizens don't even quite comprehend or understand, it is cyber warfare.
Yeah.
So you would attack. I mean, exactly the example I used now from North Korea via Namibia into the U.S., they would infect things like elections.
Yeah.
There's this whole series that has just come out regarding that big hacks, where people are being lured or infiltrated, brainwashed to do certain things in a certain direction, and those could also be intentional intents,
yes,
that people do, and that's to maybe gain some power for their cause, or get momentum for people to move in the direction that people stop buying. Let's use an example, Howie.
Yeah.
Huawei products, you know, and that whole influence that they may be compromised, and what happens, people start asking questions, should we rather buy an iPhone than a Huawei device?
Yes.
I can tell you there are big financial forces behind those kind of fights.
Yes.
It's not necessarily...
The reason why I asked that question, Charles, was because it then gives us a sense of what the themes of the various morphologies of these malware is about. If we understand what would be the different reasons, so that would probably give us a glimpse into these themes that you're talking about, that the various malware sort of hides, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, the current theme is a lot regarding the encryption of people's data and then having to pay ransom to release their money. That's
yep.
the current theme. There's also a theme where the cyber criminals will steal, let me call it your postal addresses.
Yeah.
The postal addresses. So if someone sends an email to 702, what do? They type in Aubrey at 702.co.za.
Yep.
Now they would, for instance, when they do that, at 702.co.za, that's a postal address, and that postal address is what we call a DNS record. It's just a very specific register,
yes,
which says if someone types these words in, it equates to the following specific address, and
yes,
we call it an IP address. It's 172. Whatever the case may be.
Yes.
So they would if that setup of those records is very, very critical that you protect them like with your life.
Yes.
Because if I was to able to steal your postal address, no one in 702 will be able to receive any mails or even work.
Sure.
Because I stole your postal address. So there's in 2019, we've seen quite a large focus where hackers would steal these, what we call the DNS addresses of these digital postal addresses, and then again ask ransom to actually have them released back again. So they take all your control away. It's literally taking your car keys and say, "Well, I'm taking your car keys now. First, go and pay me before I give you your car keys back, so you can be mobilized again." It's the same thing on computers, but it's financial gain,
yeah,
it's power gain. They want to make money out of it.
Yeah.
That's the big theme.
So ultimately, it is a huge industry, I suppose, the industry of malware, Charles.
Yeah, it is very much a huge industry. People are very ignorant. We don't understand all these things. I mean, we see a computer screen, and what happens behind it, most people say, "Well, I haven't got a clue what happens here. I know where to switch it on, and I know how I can send a mail and things like that and so on." But what really happens behind it is a whole ecosystem of zeros and ones. Literally all computers work on a principle of zeros and ones. It's binary code. That's the lowest level of software, sits on zeros and ones.
Yes.
And we don't quite understand it. And yeah, and people exploit people's ignorance and the pure fact that they don't ask questions. That's the nice thing about 702, asking questions, you know?
Yeah.
Asking questions in terms of why, or these things that I'm seeing, are they really true? Should I really do this? You know, people are so gullible. It's just absolutely unbelievable. If I'm in a financial situation and suddenly I could probably win 20,000 rand, who knows? I might be eluded to actually maybe have a squiz and have a look. What's this all about? You know, so they use the weaknesses of us humans to sort of like pull us into a direction to say, look here,
Charles, you sound like a preacher. I mean, I'm just listening to the stuff that you're saying. I'm thinking if I were to take Charles and I was just to put him behind a church pulpit, it would probably be the same thing. What do we need to do, Pastor Charles? What do we need to do about getting the malware reality out of our computers?
We have to educate people. I guess it's probably what your preacher would do.
Yeah.
No, we have to educate people. We have to create, and this is what I really love about your show, you know, is asking these questions. Let the listeners just start getting a bit of a sense, a glimpse of what are some of the things that are happening. So the more awareness we create, it's the same as any kind of virus or a virus that are breakout that you would have in a country or so. We have to make people aware of it as far as possible. But I mean, the basic things that, as I mentioned earlier, that they are not captured by these viruses is that they need to make sure that they use a good antivirus. It is not the cheap stuff. I mean, there's an old saying in this regard. And what it says that if you are not paying for the product, you become the product. You know, we spoke about that.
Cheap quop is dear quop, Charles.
Axio next year.
Yeah.
So you know, don't download all this free stuff that you're getting off the internet. Those things are not free. Yeah. Someone developed them.
Yeah.
Someone sits behind them. They will use that free stuff to gain information from you. It could be your contacts list. It could be your banking details. It could be the kind of things that you are searching on Google.
Yeah.
So they would be behind that details. So you become the product if you, you know, if you do. So not that free antivirus stuff, as we mentioned last time. Those are written by people intentionally so that they can get behind your behavior on your computer or on your phone.
Sure.
Buy that proper antivirus.
We need to stop because we've run out of time, but I want to thank you as always for seeing the purpose behind some of my very stupid questions. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thanks, Aubrey.
All right. Charles Eukerman.
Enjoy speaking to you, man.
Thank you so much. Charles Eukerman, CEO at AVS Cybersecurity.